Good evening and welcome to another episode of What Should I Watch? From the crew who are most likely to tell you the best and worst things on the internet and your TV screen.
What should joining I watch? Me tonight,
joining me tonight is Steve.
Hello.
Steve, how's it going?
Good now. Good now. The arm's actually hanging off me. I had my first job today of the controversial vaccines.
Oh, very yeah, good. I was thinking you had a spare head growing out of your ear there.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I keep talking to myself. I can't get a word in edgeways, as you say.
Have you tried to stick a magnet to it? That was a big craze in the internet for a while.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, Mike put me onto it, and I tried it out, and it worked. And then I stuck it to my forehead, and it also worked. I was like, oh. So I'm a bit freaked out greasy at the moment. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
That I'm vaccinated. I'm just greasy.
Yeah.
also joining us to take us through some of the fair and the movie screens is Mike. Mike, how are you?
I am so well and healthy because I haven't had an experimental vaccine jabbed into my budget.
You should ask for the one that isn't experimental. You'd be grand then. Yeah.
Not to turn this into a, you know, mine is longer than yours session, but I'm getting my second one in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Yeah. Excellent.
Nice one.
Wow. Yeah, I rang my doctor and I said, I would like you to refer to my notes that state unequivocally, I'm lucky to be still alive. If I don't get the injection, then who should? If not I, then whom? Yeah. They obviously agreed because they said, are you around tomorrow? I said, absolutely. I've been around this whole lockdown. But I'm working on it, trying to lose a bit of weight. Yeah.
So they go for the meat in the arm, did they?
Yeah, it's a sore enough all.
I've heard of people being butchered a lot. You know what actually it reminds me of is iron injections. So it's, you know, the actual act is grand, but it's like a few hours later you start to go, oh, my left arm doesn't work, you know, and now it's getting a bit sore.
Yeah, it is a bit like that. All right,
I think I'll be completely in a sling tomorrow, you know.
So I had the Pfizer one, and that's supposed to be worse the second time than the first time effects, and then the AstraZeneca is the other way around. Mm-hmm. The first jab is pretty bad and the second one's not so bad, so we'll see. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know what my symptoms after tomorrow.
I'll let you know how the Moderna goes.
Yeah. You're on Moderna, are you?
Yeah, I am, yeah. You get three times the amount of virus as you do with the other ones. So
my one's got more meals.
Yeah, so but I thought mine's bigger than yours.
I don't want to interrupt the flow we're on, and I don't have a good segue into this, but has anyone seen the trailer for The Last Mercenary?
No, tell me about it. Oh, no, is it good?
Okay.
It's noteworthy, obviously.
It's definitely noteworthy because it stars none other than Jean-Claude Van Damme in an action movie.
Wow, blast from the past.
Basically says Jean-Claude is back, The Last Mercenary. And you can imagine what it's going to be like.
Oh, God.
How many excuses can you find to make a man do the splits? outside of gay porn, obviously.
And he's obviously got to have an excuse for his funny accent.
Oh yeah.
True.
I put my money on ex-foreign legionnaire.
Oh, that's been done though. That's been done. Oh,
maybe he grew up in a Belgian circus.
You know what? I reckon
that's been done.
I reckon he was an orphan and adopted by Canadian parents in Montreal.
Oh, interesting.
How about that? Yeah.
Or what about he was left behind after the French left Vietnam and raised in a Buddhist monastery by the last Frenchman in Vietnam?
The last Frenchman. Oh, no, sorry, mercenary. Yeah.
They said it was over after DNB and Fu. It's never over.
Brilliant.
At last. So is it good? Is it what you'd expect?
It's exactly what you'd expect. I would encourage you to watch it just for nostalgia value, because there was a time in my life where I just wanted to be able to do that spinny kick that Jean-Claude Van Damme could do. I dedicated a large portion of my youth to that.
Jumping back reverse hook kick, was it?
Exactly, yeah. The way he does it is different. He
gets just, his hip sideways, doesn't he?
It's not even that. It's like his leg is so loose because he's so flexible. Mm. His body spins first.
Oh yeah, that's
and
right.
His leg kind of follows around, yeah, almost yeah. like the drum in Karate Kid 2, you know, the one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit like that. Steve, I actually started watching, since we're talking about TV, I started mm-hmm. watching The Karate Kid.
Did you? The first one?
Not The Karate Kid, Cobra Kai.
Oh, Cobra Kai. Okay. Yeah.
It was a YouTube show that then moved to Netflix.
Oh, it's on Netflix. All right. Yeah, because it was on YouTube Red. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I've started watching that now. Speaking of nostalgia. So obviously for those who haven't seen that, Cobra Kai is about Danny Lawrence, who is the bad guy in Karate Kid 1, mm-hmm. and Danny LaRusso, who are both now grown up and having their own family problems and basically charts their somewhat parallel and often perpendicular courses through life.
Karate Kid really got owled. Yeah.
It's very good. I think it's really good TV.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. But there's one scene that had it in my head where those of you who've seen the original Karate Kid remember that Danny hurts his knee, or his knee is injured illegally by one of the Cobra Kai bad guys. And Miyagi comes in and tries to talk him out of fight, and then he says, "No, I want to fight." So Miyagi goes, "All right, well, if you're going to fight, I suppose I better use my magic." Mm-hmm. So he does this big clap and rubs his hands together really fast, yeah. and then touches the knee, and he's better.
I'm right, gonna sort your chi out.
So yeah. It was very funny. There's a scene where a student of Danny LaRusso's is also injured, right? And he wants to fight as well, strangely. So Danny goes, "Okay, I know what we got to do." He does this big clap and rubs his hands together and goes, "Medic!" I thought it was brilliant.
How many episodes have you watched?
I'm at the end of season one, towards the
end. Oh, okay. I've only watched, I think, 3, maybe 4. So I didn't realize that they had opposing teams again.
Danny is training people, yeah.
Ah, okay.
And that's after that, like, and, but I've literally only just got to the episode where he decides he's going to train people.
Does he have a big tree trunk in the back garden that he's been trying to karate chop for the last 30 years?
He has lots and lots of bonsai. I suppose if you added all his bonsai together, maybe you would get the tree trunk from Karate Kid 2. But again, like, so many people believed that was how you learned karate. You wax on, wax off, and next thing you can block stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just going, man.
Yeah.
It's almost like hand-eye coordination wasn't a thing.
I tell you, I still have damage to my shins, I think, from kicking oak trees instead of banana trees. Boxer one.
if you kill enough nerves, you know, you just won't feel it anymore. You'll be a killer, Mike. Yeah. You'll be kicking people out of Walmart and, you know.
Back then in the real world, apparently nerve damage on your shins is a good way to give yourself cancer there.
Oh, lovely.
There was a Thai boxing coach that I worked with in Cork for a while, and he had to have his shins scraped 3 times because they turned carcinogenic, cancerous.
Well, if you're going to damage yourself, that's what's going to happen.
Mm. It was funny. He was such a killer. He was unbelievable. He was pretty small, pretty light, but we called him Miss Kick because he used to always throw a right, straight, left kick, and they were never standing for the left kick, so he always missed.
That's funny.
I remember one particular fracas where there was a whole bunch of people fighting and we had to get into the middle of it. And there was like almost like a Gracie train of people just walking in behind him. And he was just sledging people and making a path all the way through. We just followed him in to get where we needed to get to. every team needs one of those, I think. But I digress greatly. Have you guys been watching anything else?
You've actually just reminded me of something. In your rear view mirror, you've just freaked me out because some child just walked across the back. So I immediately thought of, you know, the haunted bit in Three Men and a Baby, where there's that kid behind the the net curtain that wasn't in the movie. Oh, you must have heard of that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No.
It's a famous ghost child. So there's a scene in the movie with, what was the guy from Cheers, the barman from Cheers?
Yeah. Ted Danson.
He's in there talking to one of the other characters, and unbeknownst to them, in the behind the net curtain, while they're talking, doing the scene, there's a small little child looking out from them, and it's very clearly a small little child. But the people on the movie swore blind that kid was never there.
Really?
Yeah. which leads me to think of this week, The Conjuring 3 is out. The Devil Made Me Do It. And I realized that I'd never gotten around to watch the original Conjuring.
It's supposed to be quite scary, that one, if I remember.
I always avoided watching it because of the doll thing. Some people are afraid of clowns. I'm afraid of dolls.
Fair enough.
But as it turned out, the doll isn't really a big part of that movie. So it kind of took me by surprise, because I was all hyped up, you know, I'll get a half a bottle of whiskey in, we'll fucking go for it. I'm a big boy now. I can watch the scary doll.
You can do it. You can do it, Mike.
And then it gives you a completely different story. But that said, it was entertaining. Vera Farmiga is in it.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's got a track record. She was Norman Bates's mom.
Yeah, I was trying to think the name of the TV show.
Bates Motel.
Bates Motel, that's it.
Yeah.
Motel,
yeah. So she's got a form in that genre. But yeah, I enjoyed it. And I think I'm mentally strong enough now to maybe watch the third one. on the big screen.
I believe in you, Michael. Steve, you been catching up on anything? You didn't happen to notice any reality TV show we both used to really enjoy that came back last week?
No, what was that?
Features all these young up and coming Ultimate Fighters who compete in a reality.
Oh yeah, I know. I heard it's back. I haven't seen any of it yet. Is it worth a look?
I haven't seen it.
Thanks for reminding me.
I am ready to get on my Fight Pass and watch it, but I haven't yet.
I read the summary, and it was your bread and butter intro, season one, episode one. You know, they all get introduced. They all go to the house. They're all excited about finding their beds. You know, they all go, maybe, well, what a house. Then, and then they have a few fights at the end. Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of alpha males that don't see eye to eye and then come around to respect each other by the end of the season.
A bit of alcohol in the mix and yeah.
They're really backed away from that. Do you remember the original episode?
Oh, yeah. Killing each other.
But they used to have challenges. They used to have like a competition. And if whoever's team won the competition, they would get to pick the fight.
Oh, yeah.
You're going back a long way now. You're going back to the very early days. But like they used to have to carry sandbags up steps and stuff. And whoever did it fastest got the pick.
Who are the two trainers? I believe they've got a bit of a beef just to make things interesting.
They are middleweights, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. One is like...
Is it Oliveira?
Is he Russian or something?
Is that it?
No.
Hang on, I'll look it up. I'll look it up.
Anyway, okay. actually, I didn't see any of it from the weekend. So I did watch Formula One, though. I'm sure you're dying to hear about that. Yeah. No, it was just remarkable because those who hit the podium weren't expected to hit the podium at all this season.
And was it a crash that caused them to hit it, or?
Many. Pirelli came out a new tire. It's ultra soft, and it couldn't handle the long straight in Azerbaijan, so they blew up. So it happened to two, if not three, cars, including the race leader Verstappen at one stage. Like he was set to win it. He was miles ahead, and rear tire blows up. He hits barrier, like at speed. So it was actually his teammate ended up winning. But Sebastian Vettel, who's been like qualifying, let's say in the bottom four or so for the whole season, he came second. You know, just, and it's because he was so far behind that he was able to change his tires before the others. And then he jumped a load of them. It was amazing. It was brilliant.
That's
and then Hamilton crashed as well, so that kind of helped too. So, it didn't crash.
Hamilton crashes.
Actually, it was Verstappen crash, and then they actually red flagged the race so that they restarted because he left so much shite all over the track, right? So then they restarted, and there was only two laps left. And so they're all back on, you know, the grid. So they had to go from there. So it was a big sprint to the end. And Hamilton gets on the radio and he tells his teammates, listen, lads, this is a bit of a marathon. It's not a bit of sprint, you know. So more or less accepting that he was in second or third, wherever he, second place, and that he was just going to get those points and be grand, or, you know. And first corner, he goes in and he's like rubbing shoulders and he completely misses the corner and goes straight off the track. It's like, what did you just say? Like fucking 5 seconds ago, you know. But anyway, so no points, nil point, Hamilton. Yeah. So anyway, it was great. It's a great race, actually. Yeah.
Speaking of pretend sports, did you see?
you ignoramus, Mike.
Did you see Floyd Mayweather fighting Logan Paul at the weekend?
I was looking for it today.
I want to hear about it, though. I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
How many rounds did it go?
It was eight rounds.
I presume he carried him.
Yeah.
Did he carry him?
Yep.
Yeah.
Basically, your man couldn't get near him. And Floyd was too mannerly to knock his ass out.
Really? Oh, he didn't knock him out?
No. It ended.
He gave the punters their money. Yeah.
Well, it was a demonstration bout, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was an exhibition match. Yeah. But a total fucking circus. Like, your man, I think, was 35 pounds heavier and 6 inches taller.
And didn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
It's like those old, K1 Japanese monster versus small dude. Yeah,
but I'm still trying to figure out why Floyd even bothered his hole getting in the ring.
Think about it.
Short a few quid.
There's only one reason. There's only one reason, Mike.
But he doesn't.
He can't
need
be
it.
Broke. He can't be broke.
No, but he's certainly not now. Yeah, he gets another 10 years out of it. You know?
He didn't make his usual money out of that fight, I presume.
I think there was some fairly big cash.
I thought it was in the hundreds of millions, wasn't it?
Yeah, because Logan Paul is a fairly big deal on YouTube.
No, I know that. My brother informed me about this at the weekend that he actually is completely banked from YouTube.
Yeah.
And he doesn't need to do this fighting at all. Well, then he should pick
Mayweather's upfront fee for this match is said to be as much as 10 million. Oh.
That's nothing. Paul,
yeah, it's nothing. With Paul's coming in about 250,000, which is.
Yeah, so they're on almost as bad as UFC money. Whereas Mayweather
have
to take a massive pay cut.
Yeah. Yeah, because didn't he pick up like $100 million for the McGregor one?
130, I think.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous money anyway. But that was an actual fight. He had to train for that. Like.
That's true. <Yeah.
laughs> Well, another source says he put his salary at $20 million, which means he anticipates Showtime to bring in $200 million pay-per-view. That could be. I can guarantee myself 35 million, Mayweather said. I can probably make 50 million. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Okay, no one knows.
No one knows.
So when is the Tyron Woodley and what's his name, Paul's brother? The other.
I am so worried.
The other Logan that. Paul. Someone's going to get killed.
Jake,
you know that?
Jake
it's not going to be Woodley. Jake Paul, is it? Is that his name?
Yeah, Jake Paul.
It's the one who likes making babies cry. That guy.
He's such a dope. He's not going to land his haymaker on Woodley, you would imagine. But like, I thought that fucking Ben Askren would do a better job than he did.
Yeah, not a boxer though.
No, August 28th is due to happen.
August 28th, okay. I won't put that in my calendar.
No, they're no good. They're like, oh man. The worst thing about the Ben Askren fight is how happy he was after he was beaten. Cuddling the girlfriend, smiling away, and going, "What's wrong with you?" Like,
because he earned how many million for it? You know.
I can start this off tonight, boys. If you like, the cinemas have opened up again. It's great to be going to a big screen with other humans. I had a choice between The Quiet Place Part 2 and Peter Rabbit Part 2. So I had my son with me, and he's 4 and hasn't seen the first Quiet Place. So we said we would go to Peter Rabbit because he had the context there. He saw the first one.
That's your excuse. Yeah.
So we went to see Peter Rabbit, The Runaway. This is obviously a mostly for kids movie, so I'm not spending too much of our time on it. It's actually not bad at all. I laughed a lot of times in it.
Really?
Yeah, I did, yeah. And so Peter Rabbit picks up at the end of the last movie where the guy gets the girl, McGregor's nephew. Gets the girl, inherits the farm, and decides to keep the rabbits. And at the start of this next movie, they're getting married. And she has written a few books about Peter Rabbit. They're getting successful. But then she runs afoul of a unscrupulous book merchant who offers her a big deal if she compromises her principles.
Gasp.
Meanwhile, Peter Abbott meets up with an old friend of his dad's who starts to lead him astray fairly astutely. But it's good. It's good.
He's grooming him. Is that it?
A bit, yeah. I don't know if we're allowed to say that anymore.
Yeah, just there under the chin. Oh, I fucking love that.
Anyway, good for kids. It is. There's enough in it that an adult can watch it without wanting to eat his own head. So it's kind of a winner because I don't know if I'm being cynical to say that that's really what you're looking for when you're bringing your kids to a movie is something that you know you can get through. And I think it falls into that bracket. So not bad at all. That's Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway.
On a more important note, were they serving popcorn and stuff? Or did you have to bring your own sandwiches?
They were serving popcorn and all manner of delights. And there was actually a bucket of popcorn like that I could have easily fitted two of my heads in. My own head and my coronavirus head. No problem.
Yeah, it was one of my great fears of going back to the cinema is that you'd go in and they'd be like, no, sorry, we can't serve anybody because it's too fucking dangerous.
Just bring your own ham and mayo sandwiches with you, you know, just in case, Mike.
Worse yet, it's in bags, so you don't know whether they touched it or not. At least when they fill the bucket in front of you, you know. So that was Peter 2. So, Mike, I might pounce on you there to tell me a little bit about a TV show called Calls.
Oh, yes, please do, Mike.
Ah, yeah, Calls is a remake of a French TV show. It was done, I think, by Canal Plus, who had a part in the version that's showing on Apple TV.
Studio Canal, I think you'll find.
Studio Canal, sorry.
Go on.
So, the
Canal Plus. It always reminds me of Radio Rio, Cinco de la Mañana. Yeah.
Please waddle.
He's trying, Steve. He's trying.
I know, yeah, I know. Sorry, again.
So yeah, this is a story about the end of the world, and it starts at the end and then flashes us back. So there's something apocalyptic happening, which isn't really well explained. And we're kind of hoping over the course of the series, it will explain what's happened. What's strange about this show, as opposed to others, is that there's no pictures. And it is in the format of a series of phone calls between 2 and 4 people per episode, who are not particularly linked to each other, but there is a common thread of something very strange happening during those phone calls. And in nearly every case, it involves some kind of messing around with time and the consequences of being outside your regular timeline and what might happen if you maybe knew something about the future or the past and then tried to change it and that kind of thing. It's definitely a very different kind of a show. And I can tell you in advance that the Hollywood Reporter magazine toured a new arsehole. They said it had no business being on television because basically it should have been a podcast.
I was going to say that, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. I myself would disagree, but I'll let you boys say what you thought of it.
I have two opinions on that, actually, now that I think about it. No, I think it's a brilliant podcast, but the visuals, they're quite important.
Yeah.
Yeah, think about it.
Go some places with the visuals. So visually what you're seeing on screen by and large is the sound wave of the people talking, right? And it does modulate with their voices, with their emotional.
And it gives their names as well. So you know who's levels. Talking.
Yeah, it does name them for you. But they also they allude to things that are happening by special effects.
Yeah.
You know, you obviously don't want to get into spoiler territory here, but I think there's more going on than maybe you realize when you start looking at it first.
Yeah, I found it almost hypnotic watching it. I think the visuals really added an awful lot to this. I think I would have enjoyed it as a podcast, but I enjoyed it at another level.
More. Yeah.
Because it, I didn't even have to think about it too much. It was almost like it was short-circuiting my eyes and going directly into my brain.
Yeah. No, I gotcha. Yeah. Sorry, go on, Mark.
I was going to say there's something about the way we consume media now that had me wondering when I was looking at this. We're also used to reading text. Mm-hmm. I think that when you see all that text on screen and it's like people sending messages, essentially, even though their voices are there, you're just reading away and you don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Steve, go on.
I'd like subtitles. You like that, Mark?
Yeah.
Are you admitting you like subtitles, Mark? All right, okay.
So not to bring up the long-standing war Steve and I have over subtitled TV shows.
I was going to say, I only watched the first episode. That's okay. Thanks, Daddy. So I only watched the first episode because I was so sad after the first one.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I found it very emotional.
Take anymore.
No, I actually couldn't.
Scary too. Yeah. Is that just me?
Well, scary. Yeah. So after the first one, I was just like, I think I've had enough for tonight now. And I will watch another. Now, they're quite short. I think that's worth mentioning. They're 13 minutes, 15 minutes, something like that. Yeah. But it's enough.
It's clever. Yeah. It's a clever choice because it doesn't give the format time to get old, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't outstay its welcome. I found there was a couple of Stephen King like chilling moments in that first episode.
Yeah,
like there was a couple of times when the hair stood up in my neck, and I was going, Jesus Christ.
It is a little bit of a head wrecker, isn't it? That way, yeah.
You think, but it's like if you think about it, you know, through the medium they're using, I think that's really good.
It is, yeah.
Like obviously, stories have been told over audio alone for generations and done just fine, so I probably shouldn't be surprised. But we are used to, I guess, a whole lot more of a barrage to the senses. Than this maybe necessarily is.
Well, I can tell you in advance that there are episodes that are even more sad.
Oh, great. And
even more scary.
Oh, great.
It becomes a bit of a head fuck as the series goes on. But
how long is it, Mike?
There's 9 episodes.
Okay, is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
So I'm up to episode 8. I can't bear to watch the last one.
So 9 means I have about 2 hours of it left, is that it?
Okay. Yeah, it's done and dusted in 2 hours, but I wouldn't recommend that you watch all of them together.
I found one was enough, that I have to admit. Now, I'm not saying one was enough as in I didn't like it. I did like it.
Yeah.
But it's tough going. It's tough going. Yeah. I wasn't expecting it to be that tough, you know?
Yeah. And what I found, I've been watching this for the last couple of weeks, just one or two at a time, and I found that they've stayed with me afterwards. For a couple of days afterwards, I'm thinking about the consequences of what I've just heard and filling in the blanks
how
it's relating to the other ones.
Are you there, Tim? Sarah, is that you?
Mark of a good TV show, I think.
Yeah.
A mark of good media, you know, it's the thing that stays with you.
Yes.
So I would have to say respectfully that the Hollywood Reporter is full of shit.
Shocker.
I would thoroughly recommend watching this.
So would I. So would I. Absolutely thumbs up for me.
We're unanimous there.
No, this is it's very clever. It's a great format. It's smart show, but it's also compelling, thought-provoking, a little bit scary.
definitely scary at times. You know what it reminds me of, and this is quite topical because season 2 is about to release on Netflix. You might remember last year there was a speeder zombie TV show called Black Summer.
Yes.
And it was really, really clever because the episodes were also short. They were about 20 minutes. Yeah. And you would see, like, you know, in the episode that you were watching, you might see someone running past. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be an overturned car with someone in a red jacket trying to escape from a zombie that was trying to eat it. And that person would, you know, you'd run on past the person in the red jacket. Mm-hmm. But then episode 2 would start with that person in the red jacket so that eventually everyone that was kind of a passerby in one episode would become the main character in another one until they all met up in the end in this giant baseball field. So it'd be interesting to see what they do because that format made it really interesting.
I have to say I enjoyed the hell out of that show.
I loved it. I couldn't stop watching it. And it was terrifying at times as well. And then I remember having huge problems with, you know, how there's some people destined not to survive the apocalypse.
Yeah.
In the middle of the season, there was one such guy who found himself in an American fire station being chased by a zombie and could not find an axe for some reason. Which would be like being unable to find a pencil or a keyboard in an office.
That's hilarious.
But anyway, that's coming in a couple of weeks. That's back. I think it's June 17th. It's on Netflix. Season 2 drops then. So
very good.
That as well.
Can't wait.
I forgot to mention something when you asked me about what else I watched. But it's Modern.
Great segue.
Yeah.
Tell us all about it.
Yeah. It's Bo Burnham has a new show called Inside, which he made in a room. He shows the room at the start of the show. And it's just a small room, average room. It's probably, 3 meters by 5 meters kind of thing. And he said, I'm going to make a show here because it's COVID and stuff. But he wrote, shot, produced all the stuff, you know, on his own. It's like, never mind the content, you know, he's either like or don't like his comedy, you know, but he has some brilliant moments in it. There's one in particular, I'll send you on a link, guys, later. Actually, we might even post it. It's about, was it White Woman's Instagram is the name of the song, right? But he does all these, you know, white women Instagram stereotypical shots, you know, of you know, just, I don't know, getting cappuccinos or frappuccinos and the kind of thing, and birthday parties and all that kind of thing. But he does all the Instagram shots. They are hilarious. And I've run it by a few white women Instagram users just in case it was just me, and they thought it was the best ever. So I highly recommend it. But the show, it's really good. It's just the quality of it for something that was shot on his own. And he's so many different angles, you know, angles to shots. It's incredible the amount of time it must have taken. So yeah, I'd recommend checking it out. It's on Netflix.
And it's a comedy special
inside.
Too, so it's not like
it sure is. Yep. Yeah, it's like a one man show. Yeah, that he did at home. You know. Yeah. Do you remember the first one he did that released on YouTube?
Nowhere else to be.
Yeah. he did one on YouTube a few years ago that we looked at as well. And it's on YouTube. He just posted it up on YouTube just for free and sort of got his name out there, but it was brilliant and really launched him, you know. But anyway, yeah, on the back of this, that's why I went looking for him there the other day. So do it.
Okay.
So cool. When you ask yourself, what am I going to watch tonight? That's what you're going to watch. Want some comedy. Yeah.
So I watched, and I think some of you have joined me in this, I watched a TV show that I originally saw advertised on Sky, but it comes from HBO Max, called Mayor of Easttown. So that's about a detective in a small Pennsylvania town investigating a local murder. And it stars Kate Winslet and Julianne Nicholson. And I'll talk more about this in a minute, but it was funny because I turned that show off, and then we're going to talk about Hacks in a little while. Of course, Jean Smart is one of the stars of that show, and she was also in Mayor of Easttown, so it was like I was following her around. So Mayor of Easttown seemed to me, at least the first episode, was about detailing just how miserable everyone involved in the show's lives were, and it's told through the detective's eyes, and she seems to have a million reasons from morning until night to be frustrated. And consequently she does get frustrated quite a lot of the time, but it's a really rich character drama, I suppose you call it, with an element of whodunit thrown in. And it kind of exposes the horror of social problems, I guess, in poor areas and the problems that it leads to. Mike, I think you caught a glance of this one, didn't you?
I did indeed. I just have to say at the start, I found it really hard to take it seriously just with the name, because I kept thinking, you cheeky mayor.
Si, Consuela.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
it's not really a cheerful, uplifting sort of a show at all, is it?
Definitely not. No.
Yeah.
It reminded me of what's the one?
The Killing.
The Killing. Thanks.
Yeah. do you know what it kind of reminded me of is
The Killing?
Rocky One.
Oh.
Okay.
You know when he goes for a run through the streets and all the kids are following him? But imagine if instead of running up the stairs to look out over Philadelphia, he just kept running into the suburbs. And eventually he got to another shitty suburb.
And no children followed him, but some of them threw stones.
And then they robbed his car. And fucking
hey, he's up in Philly now, man.
But yeah, it looks like some crap hole, to be fair. You know, it's...
There was poverty everywhere in the episode. I've only seen the first episode, and it did seem to be such a poor area. Like, obviously not all areas in any city are the same, but mm-hmm. the one that this is set in, life is pretty bleak for a lot of people that live there.
Yeah.
I thought it was in Pennsylvania, no?
So is Philadelphia.
It's a small Pennsylvania town that the title of the show belies the name of.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. Gotcha. I saw some of this over the top of my laptop, but I know it's really, 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 really good because my significant other watched it in 2 sittings.
Yeah, okay. Does it normally take long?
Just couldn't stop. It was like the book you couldn't put down. Right. But I also know that it's very dark and very, not depressing, very, but just grim.
Very dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've heard it's brilliant.
So there's a pronunciation of creature in Ireland, pronounced crater, right? And a poor crater is like someone who's, you know, down on their luck or someone.
Ah, God love them. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, it's often accompanied by God love them.
Poor crater.
So when I watch TV shows that are sad or dark, I mentally keep a tally of the poor crater count. I tell you what, the poor crater count in episode 1 of Mayor of Easttown, you know, if you graphed it, it looks like the cases of the coronavirus last March or whenever it started. It was just skyrocketing because everyone had a tale of woe.
Oh, God.
So, but to be honest, I'm going to watch more of it. I think it's really interesting. And I want to hear the stories of the different characters because mm-hmm. everybody in it, at least, has a decent story to tell. So. Yeah, I want to keep watching it. What about you, Mike? You going to watch any more of it?
I think I might. It's just that grim enough to make me watch and watch people suffering. I often enjoy
your interest.
But just correct me if I'm wrong. Is Kate Winslet English?
I believe so.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did the accent quite well, I thought. She didn't...
I think she is, yeah.
I'm not sure, to be honest. But I am.
Yeah, she's British.
As a British actress. So
she's from Reading. There you go. That was a quick bit of Googling.
Thanks, Jamie. So
yeah.
The Helen Fahey in Mayor of Easttown is played by Jean Smart. So I can't really go anywhere else apart from to Hacks, where Jean Smart is the star.
Uh-huh.
So okay. we had a look at episode 1 of Hacks, which IMDb tells us explores a dark mentorship that forms between Deborah Vance, a legendary Las Vegas comedian, and an entitled outcast 25-year-old. Steve, did you watch this one?
I did, yeah. I watched the first episode.
Well, why didn't you tell us what you thought?
Initially, I thought it was very irritating. Like the entitled writer was driving me bananas, and it was just like, yeah, but you're not good enough to get this job. You know, what's your problem? You know, it was just and then when she was offered a job, she wasn't taking it because she was too good for that, you know, that kind of way. It was like, look, you're either going to make it or you're not. But that kind of got my wick a bit. But she had a bit of a blowout later in the episode, and it was like, I'm with her. I'm with her. I like this girl.
I'm on her team.
Yeah. So yeah, team entitled. Yay.
You're talking about Ava, played by Hannah Einbinder.
That's the one. Yeah. And sorry, go on.
No, keep going.
I was going to say, and the lady that she ends up working for or intends to work for, she's brilliant too. I thought she played the perfect diva, but not too much. You're kind of on her side as well. because you can kind of see what her business is and what
she's really convincing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think there was a really strong performance in the first episode from both the
leads. Yeah.
Jean Smart as Deborah Vance. She's playing the aging comedian who's maybe not getting the popularity she once had. And
she's kind of like a female Liberace, wasn't she? Yeah. Yeah.
But I like, to be honest, I was fairly immediately hooked by this because there was such a dichotomy. Like, I know the odd couple is, they've been doing the odd couple on TV for forever now, right? Mm-hmm. But the combination here is you have Jean Smart is playing a comedian who's had a long run, but it might be coming to its end. And she's fighting against that because she wants to keep working. On the other hand, you have this entitled former up-and-comer who's now going nowhere because she's been cancelled. She said something she shouldn't have said. And the woke folk got at her. And now she can't get a job for love or money. And yet she won't take the job. As you point out, Steve, she doesn't really want the job, but the aging comedian. So you put the two of them together. And I think, like, I'm looking forward to the next episode because it's going to be sparks when, you know.
Oh, you haven't seen episode two either?
No.
So oh, great. Okay.
When Deborah Vance is trying to teach her what her comedy is, I think that's going to be really fun.
Yeah.
Because obviously Ava thinks she knows literally everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was very clear with letting us know that. So I think it's going to be great. There should be some great chemistry there.
Yeah. Like we got, there was a hint of it at one stage. But do you think like later on there'll be like, you know, she'll write a shitload of jokes and then they'll go working them out together or something like that. And that'll be the comedy element.
I don't know. Like the one thing we haven't seen is the two of them on screen together, right? I'm suspecting that there's going to be great chemistry there. And if there is, it will be good. But I'm just imagining season two is going to be your one Ava writing a whole lot of jokes. And the other more experienced lady looking at her going, that is a fly in this tone, love.
You know what else I found?
Just going back and forth.
What else I found interesting was the managers and how they approach both of them. You know, they've got their act managers, you know, oh, you're booked in for this date and blah, blah, and so on. And you know, he'd tell, let's say, one person one thing and then go and tell the other person the exact opposite. You know, like he's trying to get them to meet kind of thing. And she's like, will you meet? I've got a writer. And she's like, no, no fucking way. I'm not meeting her. And then he goes, oh, come on in. You wouldn't believe what she said on the phone. She can't wait to meet you. You know, this kind of stuff. And it's just like just the two-facedness of the industry. I thought it was, but they were the weak characters actually too in the episode. I thought, I think I'm going to watch more of this.
Didn't have a lot for doing, but yeah. Well, I am as well. I've kind of decided I want to see more because I want to see how that relationship develops and just see. Like, it's the start I'm looking forward to. They talk about this being a dark mentorship, which interested me as well. It's kind of what hooked me to want to see it in the first place. Why, how is it dark? They're writing jokes, for God's sake.
Yeah.
But I want to find out what that means. And also, I think I'm less interested in towards the end of the season where they're mates, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And probably being successful if that's where the show is going to go, though it may not. But I'm more interested in the conflict at the start.
Mm. Mike, you should give this a look. I think you'd like it.
Yeah, the entitlement really put me off to start with, but you've done a good job selling me for one episode, maybe.
Yeah, the entitlement, that part of it, it's necessary,
right,
to appreciate the second half. Yeah. You know that kind of way. Yeah, it's good.
It's like how you.
It's a tenor to a generation as well, Mike.
Yeah,
you know, it's like she is like the personification of the worst traits of a generation. Yeah. Every generation obviously has bad traits and good traits. Mm-hmm. They took all the bad ones and tried to put them into her. So you know what you're pointing at when you're giving out about her.
Well, that's there good. You know, I like when you take one person and make them a scapegoat for a large group of people. I think it makes a lot of sense. You know?
I think it does. It's tried and true. Tried and true. But no doubt, she's going to grow beyond her entitled limitations. You know, so I'm sure that's going to happen too. Mike, you watched a movie called Offspring.
Oh, not a movie, sir. Not a movie.
Oh, sorry. My apologies. TV
show. That was me trying to get a little bit closer to my feminine side.
How did that go?
This is. Okay, it was an accident. So this is apparently the number one chick flick kind of a show at the moment.
Oh, right up the street.
Everybody who has a significant other is going to be watching
this.
Is
it new?
It's relatively new, I think. It was big in Australia, and then it got released on Netflix.
Big in Japan. What was the name of it again?
Japan?
No. What's the name of it again?
Offspring.
Offspring, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it was the other band. Yeah, okay.
So, this is basically a series about a very dysfunctional family and dysfunctional set of relationships. And, do you remember Bridget Jones' Diary?
Absolutely. It's burned into my memory.
So you've got a lead character kind of like that who can't get her shit together. But everybody else is also suffering from lack of getting shit together.
Is it hilarious though, Mike?
Oh, Steve, you'll be holding your sides.
Oh, is her bumbling just hilarious, is it?
No, so in fairness, it's quite well done.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're into that kind of thing, it's one of the better ones, I would say.
So it's new to Netflix, but it aired in Australia in 2010. Ran for 7 seasons, if I'm thinking of the right one.
Probably, yeah. I can't imagine too many of them.
That was the golden age of comedy in Australia, wasn't it?
2010, I've no idea.
Yeah, because we had, what's his name, a high school guy.
Oh, yeah. That was...
Remember that?
Yes. Calamity High or...
Something like that. Remember the guy? He's an adult, but he dresses up as a high school girl.
Oh,
and he's just like too cool for school.
The name of it.
You don't remember, Mark? No. Okay. No, I heard it reviewed by this other podcast at one stage. They said it was really good, so I watched it.
Was that around the same time that the Flight of the Conchords were big as well?
It was, and. Do you remember Cat and Kim?
Cat and Kim. Oh,
that was another one.
Classic, yes.
I know, yeah. Classic Cat and Kim. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So, they don't make Mike, like is it worth enough. A look?
Sorry, Mark. I digress.
Really, only if you can absolutely find nothing better to watch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, say if, I don't know, you got caught shagging your wife's sister and you really have to make it up to her.
I'm guessing no TV show would do that.
Yeah. I'm really sorry, babe. Here's a great TV show you might like.
although it would make an excellent story for next week's podcast.
So let us know how you get on, Mike.
Yeah, let us know how that goes. So I guess to add to things that came out recently about old funny TV shows, I watched The Friends Reunion. I don't know if any of you guys joined me.
Oh, I couldn't bear to do it because that stupid James Corden motherfucker was landed in.
Oh, was he in it?
Yeah.
What the fuck is he doing it?
Guys, he's
he
everywhere.
Gets everything. Yeah.
He's the busiest. He presented the Tony Awards.
Yeah.
He's done everything.
Yeah.
All right, okay. All right. People like him, I got it. All right.
My dying day, I will never understand how that guy gets all the jobs he does.
Well, I do understand how he gets some of the work because I think he's very clever and really funny, but his chat show cannot handle.
He is the Mike Brewer. You know, the guy who does, you know, that You're car right. show? Yeah, what's the name of the car show, Mike? You know, Ed China and Mike Brewer. Hold out your hand. It's a, you know, he goes a cracking motor. You know that guy? Every car is just cracking. But anyway, he's the Mike Brewer of chat shows. So yeah, totally. It's kind of one of those you're just going, how is this guy still in the air? I just... Yeah, so anyway, so no, I didn't watch it, but I saw all the memes about Matt LeBlanc.
Summer Heights High.
Summer. Ah, good man. Good man. You wouldn't let me down.
Yeah. You'd be spending all week saying, what the fuck was that called?
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for plugging that gap for us, Mike.
Yeah.
So I watched the Friends Reunion. It obviously isn't an episode. Yeah. It's interviews. And they go,
oh, is it?
They go back. They've put the set back together and they go and they reminisce on the set. Mm-hmm. They talk through a couple of, there was a lot of really good behind the scenes stuff. I have to say that. Like, I was a huge fan of Friends. I still watch it today, like many people do. And it was good hearing their take on different parts of the show. And, you know, they had a couple of behind the scenes clips from episodes back then, and they reenacted some scenes, or they reacted, meaning acted them again. So they did read throughs of scenes from the TV show. They sat around a table and read them through again. It was funny. It was funny watching them do it. Like, and then, as you mentioned, they had James Corden interview them and ask them some pertinent questions, like, were they actually on a break?
Oh, I was going to say, did that come up?
Of course it did. Yeah.
What about Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga appeared. Justin Timberlake appeared.
Mm-hmm. She did Smelly Cats or something, I think.
She knocked Smelly Cat out of the park. I actually felt sorry. I felt sorry for Lisa Kudrow when that happened. Because, like, you know, she's
it's her song.
Joke singing, though. She's not singing because she thinks she's amazing. And then you have this fucking 200 decibel song beside you. Like, you know, I would have gone, man, I would want to fucking climb into my guitar.
Foghorn Leghorn. Yeah. Let me just sing that one for you. Let me give it a go. Yeah.
Anyway, look, I enjoyed it, right? It was obviously all about the nostalgia. And I enjoyed the nostalgia trip it took me on, to be honest. There was a lot of cameos from supporting characters in the show. There was really everything about Friends that you wanted to see. I couldn't really think of anything that they didn't give us. So if you're interested at all, it has it all there.
There we go.
All right. Cool.
There you are now. So next week, we want to talk about a TV show that is the title of which has intrigued us, called Kevin Can Himself. We will be discussing A Quiet Place 2, which is the sequel to a movie in our house is referred to as Shush, Be Quiet.
Quiet Place 2, it's still quiet.
And we're going to have a look at the new TV show from Hulu and Disney entitled MODOK, which everyone knows stands for a mechanized organism designed only for killing.
Awesome.
So all of that and more to look forward to next week.
Fantastic.
So for Mark, Mike, and Steve, stay classy.